Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
It is an honor to be asked to speak this morning. Speaking on Mother's Day is kind of a weird thing because if you look around, we don't have our normal crowd, right? We have a lot of people that are gone to be with their mothers, and we are thankful that they have the ability to do that, right? We're not sad about that. That is a great thing to be able to have happen. But we have a lot of people that are here with their mothers. And so if you're here with your mother, we want to welcome you. We are so glad that you are here. But I do want to throw a little bit of a disclaimer out. I'm not a pastor. He calls me Pastor Shannon, and I have the papers, but I'm more of a teacher, I guess you could say, and I do use humor, so if that's going to bother you, just be prepared to be super aggravated this morning, because it's going to happen. So hopefully you can stick with me this morning. It is not a task that I took lightly. I know it is very humbling to be able to speak to the mothers that we have in this room. We have some of the best mothers in Madisonville and surrounding counties. If you have the best mother, give her a round of applause. That's a trap, kids. All of you should be clapping. Clap for your mother. I do, real quick, want to show appreciation to the youth. Some of you this morning were given roses as a way of appreciation. So if you got one of those, they wanted to show you how important you were to them. Even though you are not their mothers, they do see you as guidance in their life. So one time I was attending a small conference with several ladies, some from this church, most from other churches. And when we got there, we were kind of doing this round table type of scenario where you go around, you know, you tell them your name and who you are and what you do, things like that. And so I'm kind of in the middle of the round table group. And so these women are going and they're all saying these amazing, you know, very important, they're very sophisticated ladies. And that is not my story. So when it got around to me, I said, and it was a pastor's wife type of thing, and I said, hello, my name is Shannon Kincaid. I'm from Madisonville, Kentucky. My husband is the associate pastor, and I am just a mom. I didn't have any cool things to say. I didn't have, you know, like I wasn't, you know, a preacher. I wasn't a teacher. I wasn't, you know, I didn't become some amazing thing, you know. Thanks, Tammy. But in my defense, I wasn't saying I'm just a mom as a way of kind of digging on myself or digging on my kids. I do know the importance of being a mother, but sometimes as a younger mom, and that I was kind of, my kids were much, much smaller at the time, we kind of forget the importance of being a mom. We kind of forget the purpose behind motherhood. We kind of get lost. And if you are a mom, you've probably experienced that sense of loss. You kind of lose who you are for a little while. People will literally introduce you as, this is Melody's mom. You don't know how long. I'm like, I'm not even sure people know my name anymore because I'm Melody's mom. And so you do kind of have that small frame of time where you kind of lose your identity. And that's kind of where I was when I said I'm just a mom, because I had forgotten. I had forgotten what God was doing through me to my children. I kind of let that slide for just a minute. So this morning I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about the importance of mothers. I know most of you would agree that moms are pretty much the best thing that's ever happened. Now, I am saying most of you because I know that some of you in here do not have and did not have the blessing of having an amazing mom. But in those times, she also taught you, right? Terrible moms are teaching a lesson as well, right? They're teaching us what not to do, all right? We understand that just because maybe your mom wasn't the kind of mom that you want to stand up and celebrate, God still was able to teach you something in that. And so we do know that not all of us were blessed with amazing moms. And we do have some moms in here that weren't blessed with babies, right? They were blessed with maybe middle schoolers, maybe high schoolers. Maybe they adopted them when they were older. We know that there's moms in here who never got a chance to meet their baby. They had to give their baby back to God before they were able to hold them in their hands. We know we have stepmoms in here, spiritual moms in here. We have all kinds of mothers in here. And so we are so, so, so thankful that you're all here this morning. So we're going to go back to the beginning, the very, very beginning. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to go through these relatively quickly, which shouldn't surprise any of you with the speed that I talk at. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Down to verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then to verse 6, God said, let there be an expanse between the water, separating water from water, and it was so. Verse 9, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 11, God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind, and it was so. Then in verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day from night. They will serve as signs of seasons and days and years, and it was so. Verse 20, God said, let the water swarm with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kind. Livestock, creatures that crawl, in the wildlife of the earth according to their kind, and it was so. Finally, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And if we skip down to verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created male and female, right? So we have this amazing picture of creation. It kind of shows us the greatness of God. If ever you start to forget, like, is God really in control? Just jump right back to the very, very beginning, because all he did in all of those scenarios was speak a word, right? You guys have all heard that sermon before growing up in church. I'm sure you've all heard that all it took was God to speak a word and creation was formed, right? With his voice, he's created some of our favorite things. The beauty and the peace of a sunrise and a sunset, the calming crash of the waves on a beach, the stillness of the forest floor and the way it feels on your bare feet, the beauty and the scent of your favorite flower, the colors of the changing seasons, the chirping of a dolphin, the eagle soaring across the sky. But there was one thing that he left out. Does anybody know what that thing is? You're going to say no, because you don't, because God gave it to me and I'm super excited. He left out the baby. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them as what? Adults. He created them as adults. At this point in time, no one had seen the face of a baby. No one had smelled that powerful baby smell. You know, the one on their heads that for some reason always smells amazing. And when you're having a bad day, you're like, I just want to smell a baby. But you only want to smell the top. You don't want to smell the bottom. You only want to smell the top part. Okay, because that's where the baby magic is, right? So God created all of these things, all of these beautiful, amazing, wonderful things. And then when he gets to man, he creates man. He doesn't create baby, right? Stick with me. I'm not going to be blasphemous. We're getting there, okay? So if we don't ever consider it, we don't ever realize that God created Adam and Eve as man and woman, right? And he did tell them, make babies, okay? I'm not losing you there this morning, but we're going to look a little further into Scripture. At another time, we see God the Creator at work. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and this is a little lengthy, so I apologize. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph at the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting that could be. Can you imagine sitting in the living room? Angel just drops down. He's like, hey. See, that's what it would sound like if an angel came in your house. He says, greetings, you are favored by God. And she's like, what did I do? Right, when your kids come in, they're like, Ma, I love you. You're like, what'd you do? Okay, so she gets kind of nervous, all right? So it says that she was kind of worried at his greeting, and the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, to a baby, right? And you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, how can this be, since I have not been with a man? The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. If we skip down to verse 30, it says, I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. And the angel left her. Okay, now Pastor John has done several sermons that kind of touch on what it means to be a servant to God. It means that you have no say in the matter, okay? If you have a master and you are your master's servant, you don't get to say like, I don't want to do that. I'm not gonna clean the windows. You can do that. You're a servant. You do what your master says. So Mary says, I'm going to give myself wholly and completely to this plan that God has. So we see a very different creation scenario unfolding at the prophecy of the birth of a Savior than we saw in Genesis. You see, God could have just as easily spoken Jesus into life the same way he did with Adam, right? There's no reason that he couldn't have done that. It still would have been miraculous, right? Like, this man was dirt, and now he's the Savior of the world. But he chooses not to do that. You see, God spoke Jesus to life, and he chose, instead of forming him from the dust and breathing into his lungs and bringing him immediately as an adult that he could immediately put into action, right? Because Jesus as a baby, how's that going to be used by God? What's God going to do with that? God could have chosen to say, I'm going to create this man, and as soon as he steps foot on the earth, things are going to start to change. But instead, he says, I'm going to bring this man through the body of a mother. The very God of heaven chose to send his son, the most important man who would ever walk the earth, through the life and the body of a mother. He was brought as a helpless baby who would need constant care, nurturing, protecting, and love. He would need instruction and guidance. He needed someone to teach him to talk, to walk, to be potty trained, to use a spoon. All of these things that we take for granted that Jesus still had to learn. Jesus was fully a baby and Mary was fully his mother. We don't like to think about Jesus in that way, right? We don't like to think of him as this helpless child. We're like, Jesus came and was like on the scene and he had it. He had it under control because we don't see it in scripture, right? We have huge gaps of time in Jesus's birth and Jesus's life. We have his birth. Then we skip forward, we see him getting circumcised, we see all the people, you know, rejoicing, and we see Mary go home, we see Joseph go home, and we don't really get to learn a lot about Jesus who was learning to walk and stumbled over furniture and played outside with the dog. Like, we don't get to learn about that kind of Jesus, but those are the moments that Mary shined, and it's because we can see Jesus a little bit older that we know that Mary had a positive impact on his life. The first thing that we're going to learn from Mary, we're going to learn five things if you're a note taker. Number one, you can have a plan, but God's plan is bigger. I am sure Mary had her doubts, but she made a choice in that moment with Gabriel to give herself fully to God's will. She made plans for her life. She was engaged. She probably had kind of a dream of what her wedding was going to be like. She probably had a plan, a five-year plan, because she was only, scripture says, between 12 and 14 years old. So she was young, okay? So she probably had future plans, all right? She was probably expecting certain things to go a certain way. But sometimes the biggest blessings in our lives can come in the most unexpected ways. We don't get to hear about Jesus as a boy. We know that he was born in a manger and that he was circumcised and presented to the Lord, full of wisdom and God's grace. It says, the Bible says he came up strong. And that God was on him. So as far as anyone was concerned to this point, Mary and Joseph were killing it, right? Like if you read in scripture, like Mary, they've done all the things. They went and they had the baby in the manger and they packed him all. If you've ever taken a trip with a baby, that trip on that donkey would not have been fun. I don't even take my kids in a van, but they rode on a donkey all the way back to where they were supposed to be. They had him, and they had him where he was supposed to be when he was circumcised, and they had him serving the Lord, all right? All of us would be like, that is a win, right? If it was a movie or in the theater, the curtain would close, and we'd all be like, woo, go Mary, you're killing it. You're doing such a good job, right? And they would take a 15-minute intermission. You'd get to go to the bathroom. You'd come back. I can't wait to see what Mary's going to do next. So then the curtain opens up, and where do we see Mary next in Scripture? Does anybody know? The very next time we see Mary, this mother who's killing it, she has lost baby Jesus, okay? Lost him. She has no idea where he's at, all right? Now, he's not a baby. I mean, he's still small, but he's not a baby yet, okay? It says, the second thing that we can learn from Mary is just because it's God's plan doesn't mean that it will be easy, right? We know that she did give birth to Jesus, and there's always the speculation of, did she have pain in labor? Was it awful? You know, all of these questions. I don't know. We're not going there this morning. But what we know right now is that raising Jesus wasn't easy, right? If you are raising children, it is not easy. They are a blessing, but they are not always easy. Quick show of hands. How many of you have ever lost your child? Not like a long time, not like days, But maybe like you turn around, you're like, oh, where are my kids at? Okay, so there's quite a few of you. I appreciate all of you, all right? Maybe you didn't lose them for a long time. Maybe you turned around in the aisle at the grocery store and they weren't there and you have that minute of panic. You're like, oh, somebody kidnapped all my kids, and I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to tell people. I don't know where my kids are. Okay, so you would get a little bit nervous. Okay, now imagine that the child that you lost is the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world. You have just lost God's son. Okay, that's kind of where Mary is for 2 days. She's actually there for 3 days, but for one whole day, she doesn't know she's there. Okay, so one whole day it takes her to turn around and be like, oh, wait a minute. There was three of us, and now there's not three of us. Actually, there's probably more than three of them because Jesus had brothers. But for the sake of this story, Jesus was supposed to be there, and Jesus was not there. Okay, so she's kind of having a mom fail the very next time you see her in Scripture. All right? She doesn't realize that he's gone. All right? So she goes back. She starts to retrace her steps, like, you know, at the grocery store, and you're like, Emma! That's how it is in my house anyway. Emma, where you at? Okay, and she starts to holler for him, and he's not answering. And so they think, oh, maybe he's with his friends. And they go to his friends, and Jesus isn't there. They're like, oh, let's keep backtracking. So they keep backtracking until they finally do find where Jesus is, right? We all have these moments where God gives us a purpose and a dream. He shares maybe a portion of his plan, and then we totally drop the ball, okay? Because Mary dropped the ball, right? Because you think you have a child. You know where your child is. Your job to know where your child is. Sometimes they slide away. Some people put their kids on those baby leash backpack things. I'm not here to judge. You do what you want to do. All right, but she somehow loses track of Jesus because she's not focusing where she needs to focus. Now, whether it was because of distraction, maybe she got busy, maybe there were just so many people. I don't know. I'm a mom, and I think the more people there are, the closer that my kids... Like, your skin has to be touching my skin. If there's more than 20 people, I need you to be right beside where I am. Okay, so for whatever reason, she's kind of lost where she's supposed to be. All right, in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, they go back and they find Jesus, all right? And they find him in the church, right? They kind of find him right where they left him. All right, it says, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Now, as parents, we are the masters of turning it around on our children, right? Like, she left him, and she goes to him, and she's like, where have you been? We have looked everywhere for you. Why would you do this? And teenagers today would say, you left me here. Like, you left me at Walmart and made it all the way home before you realized I wasn't in the car. So don't ask me where I was, because you're the one that left, right? Because Jesus was right where they left him, right? But Jesus doesn't do that, right? Because Jesus is better than all of us. Okay, so Jesus says to her, why are you searching for me? This is verse 49. Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know it was necessary for me to be in my father's house? And then she felt that mom shame. It doesn't say that scripturally, but I imagine she was like, yeah, you're right. My bad. All right. We don't know whether it was busyness or distraction, but for whatever reason, Mary and Joseph lost sight of their purpose. They lost sight of the very task that they were given to take care and raise the Messiah, right? The next thing that we see Jesus and his mother together is much, much further down the line, right? And they're at a wedding, all right? And we know the story. Most of us know the story. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, it says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding as well. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, they don't have any wine. His response, it makes me laugh because I feel like me and Jesus would have connected right here in this moment. He says, what does that have to do with me, woman? Maybe your kids have never talked to you like that, but he said, what does that have to do with me, woman? All right, and Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. And she just says, do whatever he tells you to do. And she leaves. She doesn't give him the option of saying, my time has not yet come. Okay, now we have to understand that when Jesus said that, he wasn't showing disrespect to his mother. Like, I'm joking when I said there was never sin in Jesus, and he always at all times honored his mother, all right? Scripture says that a foolish man does not honor his mother, and Jesus was never in that way foolish. So we know that he was not being dishonorable to his mother, okay? So the third thing that we can learn from Mary is sometimes it just takes a little faith and a little nudge, all right? We know that God was always speaking into Jesus' life, and Jesus was always under constant authority from God, okay? So when Jesus, I have no doubt, he already knew who he was at this time. He had already been baptized. The Holy Spirit had already come down. The sky had opened up. God said, "This is my son who I am very well pleased." All of those things have already happened. So he has no doubt who he is, okay? So he's sitting at this wedding. I imagine he's kind of laid back with his friends. And his mom comes up. And all of us have been children before. And you're hanging out with your friends and your mom comes. And you're like, all right, that's not what Jesus did, but you all have been there, right? All right, so his mom comes up and he says, "They're out of wine." And he's like, "Not my problem." All right, and because he hasn't heard yet from the Father that he is able to do these things, because he never did anything outside of the will of the Father. All right, so for whatever reason, Jesus says, "My time has not yet come." I can imagine Mary looking at full-grown Jesus, but the same way that we can look at our full-grown children or our half-grown children, and we still see the baby, right? We look at, I know that my mother does, and I know that my daughter's fixing to start middle school, and I'm like, she's just a baby. She can't go to middle school yet. Okay, so I imagine that Mary is looking at Jesus, and she's seeing a full-grown man, but in her heart, she is seeing the baby. She's seeing the baby that was raised up. I believe that she lived in a constant state of expectation of what was to come. Now, I don't know what it was like in the delivery room when you had your baby, but when Mary had her baby, like, angels showed up, stars shined brighter than they were supposed to, like, amazing things started to happen. So she had great expectation for what Jesus was going to do and who he was, right? So she believed in that very moment that Jesus could do anything that he wanted to do. She had heard all the prophecy and seen all of the signs. She had waited for the day when Jesus, under God's control, would take his place. Whatever the reason today, though, she was not taking no for an answer. Jesus says, "I'm not ready." And she turns and tells the servant, "Do whatever he says." And with that, Jesus performs his first miracle, right? Jesus begins his ministry and is very busy and doesn't have much time for mom. Again, not as a way of being disrespectful to her, but as adults, we know that sometimes things start to happen, our lives start to go, and we don't necessarily see mom as much as we would like, or as much as she would like. Definitely not as much as she would like, right? So he's begun his ministry, and it takes him away from this time that he spent with his mother. And Luke chapter 8, verse 19, it says, "Then his mother and his brothers come to him, but they could not meet with him because of the crowd. He was told, 'Your mother and brothers are here standing outside and wanting to see you.' But he replied to them, 'My mothers and brothers are those who bear or who hear the word of God.'" So the lesson four that we can learn from Mary is we will not always be number one, right? When Jesus was a baby, Mary was number one, right? He didn't know yet that he was the savior of the world when he was just that tiny baby. When she was still rocking him to sleep, she was his favorite person in the whole wide world. If you got Mother's Day cards from littles today, if you have little kids, you're the coolest. Like, yesterday my kids gave me all my gifts and my cards from my kids. I'm like, I'm a rock star. Like, my kids love me, right? And Emma said that I was as funny. The line, it was from her class, and it was, "You're as sweet as, you're as busy as, blah, 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 and you're as funny as," and she wrote me. She said, "You're as funny as me." So if you know Emma, I'm pretty funny. So we won't always be number one, though. There will come a time when we stop filling the number one role, right? Some of you may already are there. Maybe some of you aren't in the number one spot for your kids anymore, at least in your mind. And it was at that moment for Mary. It must have stung a little bit for her to go and find Jesus only to hear that he would not come out, all right? But Jesus lived in obedience to his earthly authority, but he refused to be interrupted by his service, right? By doing this, he was emphasizing that his Father's business would always come first, all right? He wasn't being rude to his mom, but he was showing the crowd, as much as he loved his mother, the business of his Father came first. Human ties are always second to the bond which binds us to God. Jesus wasn't dishonoring his mother and refusing to draw away from his work. The greatest and even holiest relationships must never keep us from doing the will of God. Some of us may have made the same mistake that Mary did. Maybe your child is doing something in ministry or in service to God. And maybe you think it's too tiring. It's too dangerous. Like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, Melody wants to be a pastor. I'm like, baby, are you sure you want to do that? Like, sometimes we are guilty of trying to pull our children away because of the fear that they're going to get hurt. Or if you're, like, my mom thinks all the time that we're going to become missionaries. And she's like, don't go out of the country. Please don't go out of the country. I'm like, Mom, I'm not planning on going anywhere. But if you've ever had your kid go on a missions trip, as a youth pastor, we took some kids on a missions trip. And we got a lot of phone calls, okay? Like, don't let my baby die in Trinidad. My baby better come back from Trinidad. All right, so that's kind of what Mary was experiencing. She probably saw the long hours that Jesus was putting in. She probably saw the large crowds. No doubt she had heard about all the things that he had done. And it never tells us why she went. But most references will tell you that she was going to try to find him and bring him into a place of rest. And Jesus, knowing that, refused to be interrupted. However, even the voice of the tenderest love must be silenced when it tries to keep us from doing the will of God. So mothers, we have to be, and fathers, we have to be careful that when God is trying to do something in our children's lives, we don't pull them back from that, okay? The last time that we see Mary and Jesus interact is at the cross in John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. It says, standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The last lesson that we can learn from Mary is that your love is not forgotten and you will always be provided for. Jesus is not recorded as speaking very many words while he was on the cross, yet with his dying breath, he looks at his mother and he knows that he must make provision for her. Now, if that doesn't speak of the love of a son to a mother, like, his disciples would have been there when he said, who's my mom? You guys are my mom. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. And it kind of made it maybe look like she was just another person. But here on the cross, where there would have been people weeping, he takes that moment to notice his mom. He looks down and he sees her. And no doubt his heart broke a little bit for her, because she would have been in complete agony. Because as he was being crucified, part of her was being crucified. And parents in here, not just mothers, parents in here, you know that feeling. If you've ever had to deal with the loss of a child, you know that gut-wrenching feeling that Mary must have been going through. And Jesus looks down on her, and instead of this moment saying, woman, I'm doing the will of God. Because he would have been completely right in saying, you don't know what's happening. You don't know what's about to come. What's about to come is going to save all of you. But instead, he looks at her and he says, woman, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. He basically transfers her relationship from him to her relationship to John. Okay? We may have never thought about it, but Joseph is never mentioned. After Jesus is found when he's 12 years old, we never hear Joseph's name again. Does anybody ever realize that? We never hear that he was at the wedding, okay? It doesn't say Mary and Joseph were at the wedding and Jesus happened to be there, right? When Jesus does all of these things and it says that Mary is there, Joseph is never also present. So at some point, probably between 12 and 30, he would have lost his father. Joseph was no longer in the picture, okay? So because Jesus was the firstborn, even though he had a spiritual role to play, he also would have had a relational role to play. He would have had to step up and be the man of the house. So that would have made that relationship with Mary even tighter than it would have been before. He wasn't just one of her sons. He was the firstborn son. So he would have had to always live his life while caring for the world, knowing that he's the Savior, also caring for his mother. All right, and in his death, he didn't forget that. I am sure the sense of responsibility for her never left him. Mary being the only person to be with Jesus both at his birth and now his death, she knew Jesus more than any other person on earth. Other people will come into your children's lives, but no one will love your children the way that you will. So make sure that the love that you're giving them is enough, okay? That's not in my notes, just make sure you hold on to that one, okay? She loved him, and the part of her was crucified with him that day. The agony she must have felt watching her baby hanging on the cross, knowing full well the roles had been reversed. He was no longer the baby needing her for everything. He was now a lamb being slain to save even her and give even her eternal life. So not only was she watching him die, she was watching him die for her. Think of the weight of that, okay? She was watching a full-grown man seeing her baby, knowing that he had to die for her. That had to hurt so bad, especially knowing that she had to raise him from the very beginning, all along knowing. It wasn't like it was a surprise, right? God told her all along, like, this is what's going to happen. You're going to watch him be slain. So when the time came, even though the buildup was there, even though she knew it was coming, it was still crushing to her. I still can't imagine that he ever forgot the love of his mother, her sweet lullabies, the way that she taught him to pray. He probably had favorite meals that she cooked, wonderful memories of her, just like we all have with our mother. Jesus was fully man and fully God, okay? He still would have had that loving relationship of a mother and a son. Today, I want to close with this thought. The day that you are blessed with a child, you are blessed with a new purpose, but it is not your sole purpose, okay? When your children grow up and they leave the home, you don't lose your purpose, okay? So don't get that confused, okay? They don't become number one. God stays number one, okay? But you are given a new purpose, and part of that purpose is teaching your children. You will always be teaching them, whether you're teaching them what to do or what not to do, who to be and who never to become. Every word, every action, every reaction is a lesson flowing from your life to theirs. I would challenge all of the mothers in this room to ask yourself one question. Is the life I'm living the lesson that I'm trying to teach? When your child is on your last nerve and you're in the car and you're just trying to get home and they just won't stop talking in the backseat and you snap at them and you tell them, just be quiet. Just please just stop talking. Is that the lesson you're trying to teach? Those moments are going to come, but we can't let our children stay in those moments. I'm not saying don't get on to your kid. I'm not telling you that sometimes you don't need to give them 5 minutes so that you get 5 minutes, but we have to make sure that the life that we're living is the lesson that we're trying to teach. The purpose of a mother is never ending. It doesn't stop when our children graduate or turn 21 or move out or get married, and it sure doesn't stop when they start having children of their own. Most of you in here would say that's when it actually starts getting fun, when they have children of their own. So let me challenge you to pray for your children with renewed vigor. Take time before the throne every day because they are fighting battles that you may not know about. And children, honor your mother. Honor, honor, honor your mother. It doesn't say give honor where honor is due, does it? It says honor everyone, but it specifically ties promises to honoring our mother and our father, right? God didn't give you the mother that he gave you by mistake. He gave you the mother he wanted you to have. In the same way that she is praying for you daily, you should be praying for her, because it is in honoring her that you will lead a long life. Father God, we thank you this morning for every mother that is in this room. God, we thank you that you gave us so many mothers through scripture that we could read about, that we could learn about, God, that we could glean from. And Lord, we thank you that even though you could have sent your son fully man to begin his ministry, God, you chose to send him as a baby. You chose to send him to a mother, God, that she would be able to rub his face, God, that she would be able to squeeze his cheeks, God, that she'd be able to hear his first laugh and his first cry. God, that in that moment, she probably fully learned what love was. And God, I just thank you. I thank you that you give us the ability to be mothers. God, I thank you for the blessing that it is to have children. Lord, I pray that we would daily remember that not only are we raising children, God, we are raising disciples. We are raising men and women who will bring their group to you. So Father God, help us to always speak in love. God, help us to discipline wisely. God, help us to always remember that we are under your umbrella so that they can be under ours. Lord God, I pray that you would be with every mother in this room. God, every woman in this room who has a mother. God, I pray today that we would never take them for granted. God, that we would love on them while we have the chance, and that we would honor their memory if they're already gone. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to know that even though we are mothers, and at times that feels like the most important role in our lives, God, that the most important role we play is the daughter of the one true King. So God, today we thank you, and we ask you to keep a hedge of protection around these mothers. God, give them love, give them wisdom, and let them know always, God, that you delight in them. we thank you and we praise you for everything that you are and everything that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.